You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's Black Friday all month. Over 100 remaining, 217 models to choose from. 0% interest financing available on every unit, and prices reduced up to $10,500. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
Let's go around the NHL now, brought to you by Cougar Paint and Collision. There, when you need them, call or stop in. No appointment required. They'll see you right away. You can trust Cougar Paint and Collision. They're family serving years, 88th Street and Yellowhead Trail. Good friend of the show from TSN 690, Tony Marinaro, who just won a big award, I saw. Loudest guy at the office, supposedly. Tony, congratulations on the award. How you doing?
Thank you very much, but I have no idea why they would give me such an award.
Thanks, man. Well, hey, no problem. What is Claude Julien and his use of Alex Galchenyuk? What do you make of it?
I'm really disappointed, number one. Not because Alex Galchenyuk's a perfect hockey player, not because Alex Galchenyuk doesn't still have a lot to learn, but because Claude Julien needs to realize that 3-on-3 overtime is not a regular hockey game. 3-on-3 is not 4-on-4, and it's not 5-on-5. It's 3-on-3. It's open ice. It's free-flowing. It's an opportunity where guys with speed and pace, explosiveness, a shot, offensive instincts, goal-scoring ability can come up big. And Alex Galchenyuk wasn't great in the hockey game last night. He wasn't. And he was soft along the boards on Calgary's second goal, which saw the Calgary Flames tie the game at 2. There were about 4 mistakes during that goal, about 3 or 4 of them. Della Rose made a mistake. Byron made a mistake. Galchenyuk made a mistake. Price made a mistake. There were about 4 mistakes on the play. But because Galchenyuk was soft on the boards and the puck ended up going in the net seconds later, Claude Julien scratched them or benched them, pardon me, for the remaining 12 or 13 minutes of the regulation. Now you get to overtime and you still want to teach the guy a lesson? You're still upset? You want to hold a grudge? Like, the Canadians aren't first in the East. They're not first in the Atlantic in their division. They're battling for a playoff spot. They're battling for their playoff lives. The Boston Bruins won last night, so they tied the Canadians in points. They have 4 games in hand on the Canadians. Like, this is no time to try and want to send a message to your players. You need to win hockey games. And Calgary starts the overtime session, and they don't even put their best players on the ice. They don't put Gaudreau. They don't put Monahan. They put Frolik and Backlund. So now hear me out. The Canadians have Carey Price in goal. They got Shea Weber on defense. 14 months ago when Canada played at the World Cup and won the World Cup of Hockey, he was the goalie, and the other guy was the shutdown defenseman. They have those 2 guys on the ice. Calgary's got 2 defensive hockey players on the ice. And you're not going to put Alex Galchenyuk? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I remember when Claude Julien got hired, a lot of people said, hey, the one thing Boston did was struggle scoring goals, and Claude's still a guy who's more naturally defensive-oriented than offensively-oriented. Have you seen that?
Look, there are guys that score goals. His team can score goals. It's not like he's got the best lineup in the world either. The Canadians arguably have the weakest center iceman in the entire National Hockey League, arguably. The Canadians lack a number one centerman. They don't have a number two centerman. Jonathan Drouin in a perfect world is a winger. The Canadians don't have a full-time defense partner for Shea Weber. They don't have the greatest team. So, but defensive coach, they'll question that. But defensive mentality, nobody can question that Claude Julien has a defensive mentality, that the Montreal Canadiens have a defensive mentality, that the organization right now has a defensive mentality. They play games not to lose them instead of playing games to win them. Now, once again, because they have holes, and they're not particularly strong down the middle, I have no problem with having a defensive mentality. But when you're playing on home ice against the Calgary Flames, and the last time I checked, they're not the Red Army, and their first line is not Krutov, Larionov, and Makarov, and they don't have Vladislav Tretiak in goal either, and they too are a non-playoff team, and you're playing them in your building, and they played the night before, and they're playing 2-2, and you were waiting for them, and you throw out Thomas, 34-year-old Thomas Plekanec, who's got 3 goals in 30 games, and the mandate that you've given him is, please, Thomas, be responsible in your own zone. Don't make the other team score. What kind of mentality is that?
Yeah, it's not one that's going to lead to a tons of wins, I think, long term.
And I like Claude Julien. I think he's a great communicator. I think he's a great person. He's obviously a very experienced coach. He's a very good coach. But he still hasn't grasped 3-on-3 overtime. It's not hockey. It's not structured. It's pond hockey. It's not NHL hockey. It's different. So don't put Thomas Plekanec because he's your most reliable 5-on-5 defensive player. And don't not use Alex Galchenyuk because you don't think he's a reliable 200-foot player 5-on-5.
Yeah.
It's a different game.
100%. Tony Marinaro from TSN 690 Montreal joins us. Brendan Gallagher easily having the best offensive season for the Habs. He has 13 goals in 30 games, leads the team in points with 19. I don't know if bounce back is the is necessarily the correct term or not, but you know, Gallagher only had 10 goals last season. He's already surpassed that in 30. This is a guy who had 24 and then even had 19 in 53 games a few years ago. Somebody who is back to the level that they would have expected. What is he doing now, Tony, that he didn't do last year?
Number one, the two hand injuries that he's had over the past couple of years, one last year and one the year before, he lost some power, some velocity on his shot. I mean, his shot was the shot of a guy who was coming back from a broken hand. That's exactly what his shot was. He's regained that power, that strength, that velocity. He shoots the puck just as good or better than he ever has before. That's number one. Number two, I don't know about his training regimen or whether or not he shed a few pounds, but I got to tell you, he's a little bit faster. He's faster than he ever was. So he's got his shot back. He's faster. Maybe the fact that he's missed so many games over the past couple of years gives him maybe an ounce more of energy that maybe others don't have. And confidence. I mean, just because the shot is better and because the skating is better, well, he's produced more. And because he's produced more, he's been much more confident. And when he goes out there, he doesn't go out there like a guy just going out there for a regular shift. He goes out there like a guy who's ready to make a difference. And he's been great. He really has.
When you look at the Habs, you know, they had some struggles early on. They get Carey Price back. He even had some struggles. I know he changed his skates, and, you know, he's definitely seemingly looked like the Carey Price, maybe not of old, but definitely closer to the Carey Price that most Habs fans are accustomed to. That division, you know, looks like they'll be battling with Boston and Carolina, I guess, to a lesser extent possibly for that playoff spot. Are you confident that Montreal, you know, if they go head-to-head, they're a better team than Boston?
I don't know. I'm not confident. No, to answer shit, I'm not. Take a look at Boston down the middle. They're better than the Canadiens. Doesn't mean that the game's going to be decided there, but the Canadiens haven't convinced me. 30 points in 30 games, I mean, that's basically, you know, stats at a certain point. They don't lie, right? You are what the stats, who the stats say you are. And right now, the Canadiens are 30 points in 30 games. And that's 82 points at the end of the season. And, you know, Carey Price is playing better now than he did at the beginning of the season. And maybe that's good for 5 wins more or 6 wins more. But when all is said and done, it's going to be a dogfight right to the end. They play each other 3 times between January 13th and January 20th. At the end of that game on January 20th, that might be the date, the earliest date, when anyone can really tell you whether or not they think the Canadiens are in or they're out. Now, once again, It might even be decided in February. It might be decided in March. It might be decided in April on the last weekend of the season. But, you know, if they're tied in points right now, the Bruins have four games in hand, okay? We'll see what happens between now and then because that's still a month away. But let's just say they're both teams are on the same pace over the next month, and then they play each other, and Boston wins all three direct matchups, Canes are done.
Well, I know that they have what I think it's four games in hand right now.
Four games in hand, yeah. And they're even at points.
Yeah. So you talk about their center depth being a massive issue for them. Jonathan Drouin, now I know he was banged up, so I don't know if you've seen enough, Tony, but do you think he is good enough to be an effective centerman, or is he better as a winger?
He's better as a winger. Doesn't mean he's doing badly as a centerman, but he's a good 200-foot player. He's not a great 200-foot player. He's below average in the faceoff circle. He doesn't have the size or the strength that you'd like to have for a guy who's going to be the number one centerman and going toe-to-toe with other big number one centermen. So he's, you know, all credit to him. He's giving what he can give, but in an ideal world, he's a winger.
So what are they going to do?
You know, all of this would be fixed if the Edmonton Oilers would just send Leon Draisaitl the Canadiens' way, but God forbid.
Yeah, well, I don't, what would the Habs trade, do you think?
Well, they offered P.K. Subban a couple of years ago for Draisaitl on the fourth pick, and the Oilers said no.
Interesting.
And then they turned around and they traded Taylor Hall for Adam Larson.
Yeah. Yeah, some Oilers fans don't love that trade, Doug.
That's the way it went down. That year, the Canadiens offered P.K. Subban to the Edmonton Oilers for Draisaitl on the fourth pick because the Canadiens thought that Dubois was going to be available at four. And so they wanted Draisaitl, and they were going to draft Dubois. But, you know, as it turns out, A, Edmonton refused the deal, and B, Dubois ended up being drafted third by Columbus.
Yeah. Were they going to swap
first?
So even
if the deal would have went through, yeah, they wouldn't have got their guy.
Yeah, yeah, so, well. Yeah, see, Puljujarvi's coming around, a big, massive kid. He's just going to need some time to develop into his body, I think. So if the Habs, right now, if they were looking to add centermen, who do you think they would dangle to get a decent centerman? Max Pacioretty, would they move him?
Yeah. 100% convinced. Why? Tell you why. First of all, they got everybody's a winger on this team. Drouin's a winger. Shaw's a winger. Gallagher's a winger. Hudon is a winger. Lekkonen's a winger. And in their opinion, Galchenyuk's a winger. So everyone's a winger. There are way too many wingers. They have a lot of guys that can score 15 to 22 or 23. Pacioretty at $4.5 million, I think the Canadiens have absolutely no problem with him whatsoever. His contract's up in a year and a half. When his contract expires and he goes UFA or set to go UFA, Paul Byron's contract will be up as well. Byron makes $1.167 million cap hit. He scored 22 goals last year. He's on pace for about 26 this year. When both their contracts are going to be up at the same time, Byron and Pacioretty, Byron, you can double his salary, maybe even triple it or 2.5 times. Canadiens will be comfortable with it. But if Max Pacioretty scores 30 again this year and then finds himself negotiating with Marc Bergevin, and in the last 5 years, he's been a top 5 goal scorer in the National Hockey League, you'd have to think that he's going to ask for 8. And, you know, I'm sure the Canadiens like Pacioretty at 4.5. But then at $8 million, it's with all due respect to Pacioretty, and you add to that the fact that Carey Price is locked in at $10.5 million starting next year, Shea Weber is locked in at $7.8 million, Jonathan Drouin at $5.5 million. I think Max Pacioretty is expendable. And I'm convinced that Pacioretty's future is not with the Montreal Canadiens. I'm 100% convinced. Whether or not he'll be traded this year, that I don't know. But if I were a betting man, I would say that he'll be traded before the end of June. And he could possibly be traded this year. You know, Mark Bergevin says it all depends on how many games the Canadians are going to win here over the next couple of months. Because, you know, Mark Bergevin has always said that he doesn't believe in the window to win now. I believe he does. But if he says he believes in the window and then they fall a little short, well, then he's got to answer questions as to why they fell short and now that, you know, is the window closed. I think the Canadians are going to make some moves this year. And if they do make some moves, they can't keep making moves without acquiring centermen. I mean, we're six, you know, it's 6 years into Mark Bergevin's tenure here. He has to acquire a centerman, as difficult as it is, and it's difficult. But, you know, if they're going to acquire a centerman and they're going to acquire a number two defenseman to play with Shea Weber, to get, you're going to have to give. So who do you give? Shea Weber that you just traded PK Subban for? Carey Price that you just signed to an eight-year, $84 million deal? Jonathan Drouin that you just traded your stud defenseman for? Carl Alsner that you just signed an unrestricted free agency? Who are they going to trade? Pacioretty's one of the only guys. Galchenyuk's got no value right now. Very little. Very little value right now. He played 9 minutes and 18 seconds yesterday. Less than any player on the team. The three fourth liners had come up from the American Hockey League a couple of weeks before that. They all played more than him. Who else can you trade by Max Pacioretty right now? Think about that.
Brandon Gallagher, maybe, right? And they probably don't want to trade him.
Yeah. But Brandon Gallagher, next contract, is not going to be $8 million.
Yeah. Oh, it's very true.
And so he is what he is, and he gives you an honest effort every game and every shift. And Brendan Gallagher doesn't have Max Pacioretty's value on the marketplace.
Yeah.
Brendan Gallagher is not a top five goal scorer in the world.
Yep.
I know Max is not on that pace this year. He's on pace for about 22. But Max is very streaky. He might just tear it up next month.
Tony, as always, love it, man. Appreciate it. And enjoy the game tomorrow.
I will. Thank you. Cheers.